Good morning, Seahawk fans, and welcome into another edition of Hawks Talk here on CSN. As always, I am your host, Joel Gunderson, and boy, what a night for the Seattle Seahawks with the deck seemingly stacked against them. They had a short week. They were against the hottest team in the NFL in the New England Patriots, who were coming off their bye week. They were going across the country. Everything essentially was set up for the Seahawks to make their cross-country trip and come up completely empty-handed, but as we have seen throughout the season, just when it seems that this Seattle team is reaching a desperate situation, they find a way to surprise us. And from the moment things kicked off last night, we were treated to a real show. It shouldn't have been surprising, considering A, how good the Super Bowl matchup was a couple years ago between these two teams, and the fact that both franchises are so well run that they field essentially the same teams, and B, both are really, really good when they're on their game. And as I mentioned in my game preview on Thursday, New England was playing close to their A game coming in. Seattle was not, but they have shown enough flashes this year that we've seen how good they could be. But they've been showing it lately. New England was playing pretty close to their A game coming in, and the Seahawks have been showing signs of life lately, and it showed last night. The Patriots wasted little time in jumping out to a 7-0 lead on a LeGarrette Blount touchdown, and Blount was unstoppable all game long, really showed the toughness that really has allowed him to stay in the league and find a lot of success with the Patriots. Seattle bounced back with back-to-back field goals. Then Doug Baldwin decided to show up. Finally, he has been so quiet the last few games. He would finish with three touchdowns on the night, the first of which came in the second quarter on a 6-yard pass from Wilson. And getting an early lead on the road, scoring early, was a huge factor in this game because Seattle's offense has been so Jekyll and Hyde this season that establishing an early tone was vital, and they did that. Yeah, they settled for a couple field goals early on where they couldn't punch the ball in, but they were moving the ball at will, and they were doing it on the ground, not just through the air. This was, far and away, the best game the offensive line has played all season. And a huge amount of credit has to go to Darryl Bevell, because at some point with a weaker line, you have to get creative, and he did that. They inserted CJ Procise into the lineup and said, we're going to utilize this kid. They got him on the edges. They let their linemen play to their strengths, which is their athleticism and their mobility, and they capitalized. Instead of just trying to plow through the Patriots' defensive line, which was not going to work, they said, okay, if we can't overpower you, we're just going to shake things up. And the run game, the tone setting early, was huge. Seattle was able to control the ball, which was good, because the defense really struggled to control the Tom Brady and LeGarrette Blount attack, which is not to say that it was bad, because New England is that good offensively, but Seattle really fell into the trap that a lot of teams do, where they're not respecting the run game, because that's not what New England is known for, so they're sitting back, Blount starts to chew up yards, then they go up and Brady does what Brady does. But the two teams offensively, they were surprisingly similar in their attacks. Both came out determined to establish the run. Both were successful. Both wanted to use that to their advantage in the passing game. Both were successful. And it showed throughout the night on the scoreboard. Neither team grabbed a big lead where you thought that they had a chance to run away. It was really nip and tuck the whole way. And Seattle entered the halftime actually up 19-14. The third quarter was a bit of a feeling out period after the halftime adjustments were made. Blount scored a touchdown for the Patriots. Hauschka kicked another field goal. And Seattle entered the fourth quarter up 22-21. Now, I'm not usually one who places too much emphasis from a macro standpoint as you look back on the whole season on something that happens in one game, or in one series, or in one play. But in entering the fourth quarter, up one, I said to myself that this was going to be the most important quarter the Seahawks will have all regular season. Because this season, as we've talked about, has been so out of character for the Seahawks. It's been really bizarre from the moment things kicked off in September. They've been mind-numbingly inconsistent on both offense and defense. They've scored 37 points in a game, and they've had games of 3 and 6 points, respectively. Defensively, they've held teams to 6 and 9 points. Then they've had multiple games where they've given up untimely touchdowns and they've been unable to get key stops. And that's not Seahawks football. That's not how they've built the roster. That's not how they want to be going forward. So when they went into the fourth quarter, up one against the best team in the league, they had an opportunity to really establish how they were going to finish out the season. Because they were in a hostile environment, best team in the league, the hottest quarterback in the league as well, and it's not even close. Tom Brady's playing absolutely out of his mind since he's returned from his suspension. You hold on and win, you send a shot across the NFL that you're for real. You lose, and the questions that have plagued you all season long will continue. And fittingly, it would all come down to the defense for the Seahawks again. After Doug Baldwin's third touchdown of the game, putting them up 31-20. After Doug Baldwin's third touchdown of the game put Seattle up 31-24 with 4 minutes and 24 seconds to play, it was pretty simple. One more stop, and all of the early season struggles go away. You nab the biggest road win of the season, and you send that message. But this being the Patriots, they weren't going to make it easy. They eventually set up first and goal with just under a minute to play after they moved the ball down the field pretty much at ease. Seattle was playing a prevent defense. A minuscule prevent defense. They weren't going completely off the ball, but they were definitely wanting to keep everything in front of them. Now, after Seattle stopped Blunt on a couple of runs and nearly won the game after Tom Brady fumbled on the 1 yard line, which he would recover, the Patriots had a fourth and goal with 11 seconds to play. Now, Cam Chancellor, who's been out for the last few weeks along with Michael Bennett, he was back and he was making his return from injury, and he found himself one on one lined up with Rob Gronkowski on the outside. Now, that's not usually a matchup you want with the safety, especially because now, if you're going to have Gronk outside and you're going to have someone one-on-one with him, you want it to be Chancellor because Rob's not going to run away from you. There's nowhere to go. They've only got 1 yard, and he's physical enough that he can go with him. And it was a physical play. Chancellor was able to knock Gronk off just enough, and they were both going after each other. And the ref honestly could have made a pass interference call on either the offense or the defense, but they let him play. The ball fell to the turf, and Seattle walks away with a 31-24 win. They go to 6-2-1 on the season, and they get arguably the biggest win that any team has had this season. After the game, and obviously elated, Pete Carroll took the mic. This was actually his first game back in Foxborough, as they mentioned on the broadcast, since he coached the Patriots. I think it said 1999 is the last time he'd been there, 1998. So something tells me he probably enjoyed this one. Certainly not to be lost in the shuffle of the defense's last stand was Russell Wilson, who was absolutely brilliant last night. He threw for 348 yards, he had 3 touchdowns, but most importantly, from a mobility and confidence standpoint, he was back to the Wilson that he was last season. And Al Michaels talked about it. The second half of last season, even though Cam Newton won the MVP, as Chris Collinsworth said, Wilson was the MVP of the second half of the year. He was so good. He was healthy. He was confident. He finally had weapons. And he looked like that again last night. He was shuffling. He was shifting. He was stepping up in the pocket. He was rolling out. He was masterful at buying time and finding guys open downfield. And it's been talked about multiple times this year. I feel like I say it every single week, but without a consistent running game, he has to be able to make those kinds of plays. And it was never, him not being healthy was never about his ability to run downfield and gain yards. It was simply about being able to escape the pocket. And you have to remember, he's listed at 5'11", and we still think that's pretty generous. So he's actually, it benefits him, even if the offensive line is playing great, to roll out. So he's got more ways, you know, better view downfield. And he was able to do that last night. He looked more comfortable than he had all season long because it was, I believe, the third quarter of the opening game against Miami when he did get injured. So he has not been healthy all season. But last night was the first time you could really watch him and say, he's back, he's 100%. And he also spoke to the media after the game. So after the 34... After the 31-24 win, here's three things that I learned coming off the big win over New England. Now, I don't want to say that I called it because there's lots of people that have been making this proclaim. Now, I don't want to say that I called it, but I did point out a few weeks ago that CJ Procise would make a big impact this season, and we saw it on full force last night. The diminutive little rookie out of Notre Dame was everywhere. He had finished with 66 yards on the ground, but tough yards. He was everywhere. He only got him on 17 carries, so he didn't bust out a lot. I think his long run was 10, but he was getting so many tough yards on the outside, setting the edge, and getting a lot of really key first downs. He had 87 yards receiving as well. And an important stat that doesn't really get talked about, he had 7 catches, but on 7 targets. And being a reliable option, especially out of the backfield for Wilson, is huge. When you know that a guy is going to catch the ball, he's got really good hands. And when he was drafted, that was really high in his scouting report. They said, out of the backfield, he was probably the best running back in the draft as far as he's got receiver's hands. He played a lot of receiver at Notre Dame, too, so it makes a lot of sense. But his ability to both slither through the tackles up the middle when they do run him and catch the ball out of the backfield makes him an incredibly dangerous weapon. And I think last night was just the surface of what this kid can do, because now Bevel's seen, okay, he can handle the big stage. And it doesn't get there's no bigger stage than Sunday night NFL in New England. I mean, that's as big as it gets during the season. So he was the MVP, really. Him and Wilson, you could give it to either guy and you would not get any complaints on the side. So really big development last night, getting him in there. He's clearly a gamer. He's ready for the spotlight. He's ready for a bigger role. Number two, I haven't really talked about him much this season, because when you have a field goal kicker, you don't want to have to talk a lot about him, because if you are, that usually means that he's doing bad. Kind of like the offensive line. You don't talk about him unless they're doing poorly. But Steven Hauschka has been rock solid this season. He had 4 field goals last night. You can never, ever take your kicker for granted in the NFL. And with the way things have gone for the Seahawks this season, they're going to be in close games. They're not going to blow anyone away. And having a weapon like Hauschka, who's reliable and solid, he's got a good leg, he can go from deep, will be so vital as they get towards the playoffs. Number three, this team needs a healthy Michael Bennett back, and he's missed the last few games, and the defensive line has been okay. They got to Brady a few times. Frank Clark had a really, really impressive sack where he literally reached around, got one hand on Brady's jersey, and then just kind of fell over to pull him down. But with the secondary playing pretty average this season, they need the line to be dominant. I would say right now they're a B+, A-, but with Bennett, they're instantly an A+ unit. And that will take them to the next level, because they got Chancellor back last night, which helped a ton. But you can see he's a bit rusty, and it's going to take him a few games to get back. And eventually, once Bennett gets back, it's going to take him a few games as well. So I mean, he's a top 3 talent in the league at what he does. And impact linemen don't just grow on trees. So getting him back, getting him healthy early enough so he can get up to speed in time for the playoffs will be real vital, because once they can plug him in, then you've got depth at the defensive line, because right now with him out, if something were to happen to Frank Clark or Cliff Averill, they'd be in a world of hurt. Well, Seattle's back home next weekend as the Philadelphia Eagles are in town. It'll be the first opportunity to see the Wentz mania, Carson Wentz. It's been tamed a little bit since the early season, but the Eagles are playing good ball under Doug Peterson, their first-year coach. And this is a classic trap game. Come off a big win. They're going to go home. They're going to face a physical team. So if Seattle wants to continue this momentum that they clearly have now after the last couple weeks, they're going to have to be 100% focused, or the Eagles will beat them. No doubt. They're that kind of team, and they thrive off of teams that are not ready because they are so physical, both on offense and defense. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Hawks Talk. As always, thanks for joining, and I'll be back next Monday. Let's do it all again.